We'll give a quick synopsis of the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha we said on Shabbos. The area of inquiry that we discussed is innovative forms of Bir Chametz. Can a person be Mekayim Bir Chametz by putting something in a particle accelerator and converting it into a whole different type of food? That would be theoretically possible to convert chametz into steak. And it would its chemical composition would be as such that it would look like steak. Right? Or alternatively, putting chametz in a secure container where it will never rot or ever be damaged and launching it into outer space. Right? And we're talking about, obviously, after 6 hours, the bittul, 6 hours on Erev Pesach, the bittul chametz no longer works. So it's not... saying that the fact that you did that is no worse than bittul. We're talking in the circumstances where that doesn't apply because it's after 6 hours on Erev Pesach where bittul no longer works. So you launch chametz into outer space, but in a secure container where the chametz itself will not rot or deteriorate, but it's certainly inaccessible. Right? And lastly, you know, if... you render chametz poison, but without in any way damaging it, the way it looks or tastes, like lacing it with tasteless and odorless arsenic. These were the areas that we wanted to explore, and we're not saying anything halacha lemaase. We're just pointing at some indications from the Rishonim as to possibilities regarding everything that we've just mentioned. The Gemara says in Psachim, Daf Chaf Aleph from a base, and the Gemara says that regarding the din that, you know, chametz before the time, you know, is mutter. So the Gemara says pshita, right? Of course, if it's before the time, right? Of course, it's mutter. So lo tzricha shecharcho karam zmano. We're talking about that you burnt the chametz before its time. Kamashon ked Rava, and this teaches us the din of Rava. The Omar Rava, the Rava says, Chorcho kodem zmano, mutar bano, if you burn the chametz prior to its becoming usser, you may enjoy those ashes afterwards. And this verse is very important, halacha lemaase, that if a person had chametz around after it became usser bahano, after the 6 hours on Erev Pesach, you may not make use of the ashes. It becomes permanently usur bano if it changes form, like you burn it or like you convert it into another substance. Makes no difference. Once it became usur bano, it's always usur bano. But if you convert it, if you burnt it, we're going to deal with the burning in a second. Very interesting machlokas Rashi tells us. Right? But if you burnt it, right? Before 6 hours, before it became Osir Bahana, so if you made that shift in it before it became Osir, you may enjoy its ashes afterwards. Says Rashi, on this halacha, which we paskin this halacha, right, Hai mutter ala achras mankai, that which, you know, chametz before its time is mutter, it means even after the time of Isser set in, v'kagon shechorcho ba'or yofek karnzman, you burnt it, you know, in a very good fire, before the time, shebotol ta'amo umariso. That you have annulled the way it tastes and the way it looks. Those are the words of Rashi. Botol ta'amo umariso. Once you change the way it tastes and the way it looks, it is mutter. If you got that shift in before the Zman Isser Chametz, it will remain mutter even after the Isser comes in. Now, Tosfos on the spot, without even mentioning Rashi, says what any person would have normally thought, if not for Rashi. You have to make it nifso me'achilas kelev. You have to totally, it has to be totally spoiled. Right? As per the textbook example that Tosfos invokes, like the famous case where it said this din is stated by bread that has gone moldy, that has to get moldy to the point that it's nifso mechilas kelef. Now Rashi could have easily said those words, Nifso Mechilas Kelef. Right? So I would like to propose, you know, Tosis obviously assumes that Nifso Mechilas Kelef is across the board, and that it's chametz until it's mamish non-edible even to a dog. And makes sense whether it's bread that rotted or you burned something, right, as the case of Rava. So he assumes that you made it Nifso Mechilas Kelef. It's not food anymore. It's not food anymore. And you could enjoy it any way you want to enjoy it because it's not food anymore. And you have to make it non-food, non-edible. And we'll explain what non-edible means, you know, in just a moment, that this is not as simple as it sounds, as we're going to show. But according to Tosfos, you just have to make it non-edible. It's just not food anymore. Nifso Mechilas Kelef. But Rashi didn't say those words. All right, Rashi said, Boto Tamo Mariso. So one would ask, but don't we find elsewhere when the Gemara talks about, when Chametz is Osir until it's Nifso Mechilas Kelef, I will tell you that it's not Doime. Right, those Gemaras are talking about Pas She'ipsha, like Tosa says. Right, those textbook examples of Nifso Mechilas Kelef is when it was bread, and it remains bread, and if it looks like anything, it looks like bread. And if it still tastes like anything, it tastes like bread. So of course, since it is bread, and it remains bread, or remains looking and tasting like bread, it will not become non-bread until it is so rotten that it's Nifso Mechilas Kelef. But Rashi over here is talking about that I use fire to convert it into a different substance. So fire, lav dafka, if I put it into chemicals or I put it into a particle accelerator, if there would be a way to change the way it looks and tastes. It doesn't have to be Nifso Mechilas Kelef. Just something that if it looks like anything, it's chametz. If it looks like anything and if it tastes like anything, it's chametz. That's when we say that that thing that looks and tastes like chametz must be Nifso Mechilas Kelef. Right, because if it looks like anything or tastes like anything, it's chametz. So it has to be so ruined to the point that it's Nifso Mechilas Kelef, because if not, it is chametz. But over here, Rashi is talking about that we burnt it, we chemically convert it into something else. So the din of Nifso Mechilas Kelef, dafka by pas, dafka by bread, and it remains bread, and has not been altered in mare or tam from being bread. If it looks like anything or tastes like anything, it is bread. That's when we say it's Nifso Mechilas Kelef. But if there was ready to be Mavato, the Tam, and Mare, right, then who says that's me, Nifso Mechilas Kelef? And that's what Rashi is seemingly saying. So therefore, Bepashtus, we would say that according to Rashi, for sure, if I put Chometz, before this Manisra, of course, this is talking about before 6 hours, right, before it became Osir already, because once it becomes Osir, it's Osir Le'olam. Right, but before the Zman Isser, I put it into a particle accelerator and I changed its composition. Right, I changed it into something else, a different type of food that no one would ever call chametz. It's Nishtane Tamo Mariso, perfectly okay, and you're allowed to enjoy it throughout Pesach. So potatoes that were chemically and with particle accelerators converted into steak can be enjoyed. Right, Tosfos clearly disagrees and holds no, it has to be Nifso Mechilas Kelef. But now it goes the other way also. Rashi, who demands that it should be Nishtane from its Tam and Mare, right, that it has to not taste or look like chametz anymore, but Lav Dafka Nifso Mechilas Kelef. That's Tosfos. Tosfos holds that way. That once it's chametz, it has to become mamish inedible. Right? But according to Rashi, we proved that if you could. It only has to become inedible if it remains bread, if it remains chametz. That's when we say, that's when Nifso Mechilas Kelef. But to convert it to something else that has a different look and a different taste, convert it to a different food, if that would be possible. Burning is the simplest way, or the only way they had in their days. If there would be another way to change its chemical composition, that it would become a different food, not at all looking or tasting like chametz. Right? So, according to Rashi, that would be mutter. But the same Rashi would hold, this kula of Rashi clearly comes out as a chumrah on our other inquiry, right, about taking a perfectly beautiful looking pastry and lacing it with tasteless and odorless arsenic. All right, so now it's poison, but it tastes and looks like chometz. Right, so Rashi will hold your chayv for two averus, your chayv for chametz on Pesach and your chayv for suicide. Right, but it wouldn't be any heter, right, to eat the pastry because it's poison, because it looks and tastes like chametz. Right, there will be no heter, right, and you know it looks and tastes like chametz, and even though it's deadlier than saying that's nifsal me'achilas kelev, but nifsal me'achilas kelev tastes putrid. So that's how when something is bread, it's not bread anymore if it tastes so bad. Right? But this, you know, which is laced with colorless and odorless poison, looks and tastes like chametz. I don't see how it'll be matir eating it, and a person will be guilty of both chametz on Pesach and of suicide. The question is, according to Tosfos, right? According to Tosfos, you know, making it nifsomach, lacing it with poison, that's also called that it's not edible, but it's yummy. So, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what about nifso me'achilas kelev makes the chametz mutter, as it were? I mean, makes it non-chametz. Is it the fact that it tastes terrible? Right? You know, it's tastes terrible that no normal person would want to eat it? Or is it the fact that it's non-edible, it's just inedible, literally, because it's bad for you? Right, the simplest understanding, we would think, right, the most straightforward way is that once it tastes so bad that no one wants to eat it, that's already matir it. That's it's not food anymore. It doesn't have to be deadly. And it being deadly, like being laced with poison, is a non-factor. It would have to be that it tastes so bad that no one would want it. It's so putrid, no one would want to eat it, whether it's deadly and unhealthy or not. Right. However, there's a shita of the Rosh. And the Rosh and the Ria Barceloni are deos, you know, yechidim, that they raise the following question. The literal din of Rava is mutter bahano. It's mutter to enjoy. What about mutter bahachila? Let's say a person would be crazy enough to eat it. So most Rishonim who discuss this, who actually raise the possibility, are matir. If I'm not mistaken, the Ran and others, you know, who actually raise possibility. What if the person would want to eat it? So, well, gesundheit, eat it. It's not chametz anymore. All right, so you may eat it also. The Rosh says that no, it's mutter b'hanoa davka and not b'achila. It's mutter bahano, but not bahil. So let's say you could mix it into other foods, or simply another example is taking small dosages. So you may not be able to bite into it and eat big chunks of it. You might not be able to tolerate that, right? But you could make it in small bites, you know. So the Rosh asers, and he says, even though butla daito, it's a kol odom, this is not a heter. And it's a big chiddush, you know, this sheet of the Rosh and the Ria Barceloni is something that, have people scratching their heads. It's really a pella, because you would think it's just not food anymore, bechlal. But that's what he says. The Lashon of the Rosh is is in Perek Kol Shoh Sif Aleph. Right. Vyeshos Ilomar Lav Dafka No Duah Dinami Achil Dafra Bamahu. So this is like the simple sort that doesn't want to say that Lav Dafka that's much but no, even if you want to eat it, because you're eating dirt, you know, once it's so ruined. Right. He does invoke the Lashon of Tosfos that has to be Nifso Me'achilas Kelev. So he is from that school of thought. And he says, you know, there are those that want to say that it's once it's nifso me'achilas, you can even eat it also. It's dirt. V'lo mistaber, says the Rosh. And the Rosh says, it's not mistaber to me. That'll be the butler daso, that's called, even though it's butler that's called, no normal people would do it, and this person who's eating it is deviant. Mikomakom kevan diu ka'achile, since he is eating it, asur. V'kach kosav ha'arav ha'bartzoin, the Ria Bartzoin wrote that also, zeh l'shoinai, v'hani mo'i demutar ba'ano, l'achar zmano, avo b'achila lo. Right, you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat it. Right? Now, he doesn't give much reason. He just says it's mistaber, it's logical. Right? And the logic is a little bit certainly not obvious to me. Right? But it seems that so long as it's ingestible, so long as it's possible to be eaten, even though no normal person wants to eat it, it still remains usur. It still remains usur, so long as it's ingestible. Now, call it achshave, the person gives it chashivas because he wants to eat it. Again, this is a very big kiddush because by regular isurim we don't say this. Now, this is a really a pella, this rosh. But this is how we pask it. Now, seemingly, we could posit like this, that, according to the Rosh, it has to be totally inedible. Not that it's so putrid that no one would want to eat it. Normal people wouldn't want to eat it. So the Rosh says it's not of a heter. But l'daito et so kol adam is not going to be matirat for this, not going to be a heter for this deviant guy to actually eat it. Right? Since he's eating it, it still remains osur. Means that so long as it's eatable, it still remains usur. So now we could be don aliba the rush. Right? We could just raise the question. Just raise the question. The rush says, so long as it could be eaten, it's usur to be eaten. Right. So how about if I make it poison, that it can't be eaten? All right. So then the rush would agree, right, that it's not food at all. Right, I make it poison. So it could be that the chumra of the rush could actually turn out as a kula, whereas we certainly can't be matir, according to Rashi, a pastry laced with odorless and tasteless poison, because it definitely has the tam and mara of chametz. And even like Tesfis, we said it's not mistaber, because Tosfos wants it ruined, ruined in the sense that terrible taste. He wants it tasting terrible. Right? And that's the pashtus. Right? And therefore, if it tastes yummy, right? No reason to assume that tasteless would be moderate, even though it's poisonous. Dafka, according to the Rosh, that holds that even if it tastes terrible, it still remains usur, because you ate it. You ate it. All right? That's because it's still food. Because I guess it's ingestible, right? But if it's poison, then he'd agree that it's not food at all. So maybe Dafka, the chumra of the rush, would come out as a kula, right? That the rush holds the terrible taste, even if it tastes horrible and it tastes ruined, right? Even that's not a matir. So the taste is not a matir. The butler, Daito Tzokolim, is not going to help. This guy has deviant tastes. If he's eating it, the heter is only bahana, because eating chametz is eating chametz, even if it tastes horrible. So lefi this rush, we could say like this, so long as it is edible, even though it's disgusting, but as long as it's edible and eatable, right, it still remains usur. But maybe if I make it poison, that's not edible at all. All right, so that will be matir it, so maybe lacing it with poison before shah shishas, that now it's not edible in any way, shape, or form. Right? It's poison. Right? So maybe dafka, according to the rush, it would be this chumra of the rush would also come out as a heter, right, to eat pastries laced with tasteless, odorless poison, yesh. On this, I'm not saying this decisively, but yesh lion, that perhaps the chumra of the rush would actually create a kula for the case of a yummy chametz that has been made poisonous. All right, so now we go to our next area of inquiry. Putting chametz in a secure capsule and launching it into outer space. Right, what would be the halacha? Our hakir over there is very clear. Right, haray. On the one hand, it's totally inaccessible. No one can ever reach it. But on the other hand, I've done nothing to actually destroy the chametz. So is that a good kiyum of biur? And of course, we are talking after 6 hours that bittul doesn't help. And you need to do biur. What is the pshat in biur? Biur is to make it totally inaccessible, or biur means it is destroyed. Now, that's our chakira, really. So as a Gemara on Psochim Dav Kof Chesom Ben Aleph, so Machlokes Rabba and Rav Yosef, right? Whether when dispensing of chametz, right, do you have to pulverize the chametz? The Mishnah had said, let's back up. The Mishnah had said that the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Agav, Tosfos passes like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why we burn chametz. We want to gain the shita of Rabbi Yehuda because Tosfos taka paskins that way. And that's why the minhag is to burn chametz. But you know, most Rishonim Paskin, like the Rabbanan, Yachid V'Rabim Lacha Karabim, they could also be Mefarer V'Zor Aluach. You could pulverize and throw it to the wind. O Matu Layam, or you could throw it into the ocean. And there was a Machlekes, Rabban Rav Yosef, that when you throw chametz into the ocean, you have to pulverize it also. When you throw it up into the wind, obviously you have to pulverize it, otherwise it'll land somewhere perfectly intact. Right, but the question is, can you just throw a whole loaf of bread into the ocean? This was a machlokes Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba does indeed require pirur. Rav Yosef says, you do not require pirur, you do not have to pulverize the bread. And Rav Yosef, you know, gets the last word over here, and the Rambam, at least, paskins like Rav Yosef, because he got the last word in the Shakal Vitaria. And Rav Yosef holds you could throw the loaf of bread whole in water. So then the Brisa, the Gemara brought a Brisa that seemingly backs up Rabba, that says like this, Tarek HaZeh Rabba, right, that the Tarek HaZeh Rabba Yamach Midbar Mefarer Zoroch Hayamach Besvira Mefarer Umatil Layam. It's talking about chametz. Right, so if you are walking in the desert with your chametz, you pulverize it, you throw it to the wind. Or if you're in the boat, you pulverize it and you throw it into the ocean. So seemingly that's a brisa that supports Rabba's position. You're not allowed to throw a loaf of bread whole into the ocean. That's not a good enough biur. You mefara matilayam. So Rav Yosef gets the last word over here. Rav Yosef lo kasha. According to Rav Yosef, it's not a kasha that, you know, the brisa that seemingly supports Rabba. Ha bechiti ha benahama. Right, one is talking about wheat kernels, the other one is talking about bread. Meaning to say, wheat kernels are hard and bread is soft. Now we're gonna see that that's the Rambam, how the Rambam looks at it. But now let's take a look at Rashi. Right, so Rashi says, you know, why should you think that bread would need pulverization? Just to even explain Rabba's position, because another boat will pick it up, and that's not called biur if it's accessible. Right, so we brought this brisa that says black on white, you got to pulverize and throw in the sea. So Rav Yosef, that's not a kasha, because one of that brisa was talking about wheat, and I was talking about bread, the wheat kernels, and I was talking about bread. So explains Rav Yosef, b'chiti shechmitzu. So we're talking about wheat kernels that became chametz. You know, if you put wheat kernels in water, and the wheat kernels, you know, starts cracking, that's a sign that those wheat kernels have become chametz. Right? Wheat kernels alone can become chametz. So if you have wheat kernels that became chametz, boy pirur, you need to pulverize them. Klomar, now that which we mean say pulverize, says Rashi, that means to say pizur. It doesn't mean literally pulverize. It just means to scatter. Shloitnem besak vizra came. That you don't put them in a bag and throw them into the ocean in a sealed bag. You have to scatter them on the water. So, but why? They should be inaccessible because they're going to scatter. There won't be a human being that will be able to gather up the wheat kernels. You would not be able to, gather up the wheat kernels. They'll be dispersed. But Rashi puts the emphasis, they literally pulverize. You don't have to pulverize. You don't have to damage the wheat kernels. What you have to do is you just have to make sure, not pirur literally as pulverized, but pizur, just scatter them. Open the bag so that the kernels will scatter to the four corners of the earth and no person will be able to collect them. As opposed to a loaf of bread is soft and it itself will dissolve. Right? So that's how Rashi understands Rav Yosef. You don't have to pulverize, but you have a problem with wheat, that since wheat kernels are hard, they don't dissolve. So you have to scatter them. You don't have to pulverize them, but you do have to scatter them. Right? And why? That way it will be inaccessible. But Rashi puts the emphasis on access, right? That biur is to make something non-accessible. And the problem of wheat, if you seal it in a bag and throw it in, it's not going to dissolve, and then someone will find it. Right? Bread will dissolve. Right? And the point being that a person should not be able to collect it. So you don't have to literally pulverize the wheat, you just have to scatter it. Scatter it. So a person should not be able to collect it. All right, so we see from Rashi that it's an issue of making it inaccessible. So if I put it in a secure capsule that, the chametz will never go bad, and I launch it into outer space, there's no person's ever going to be able to reach it. All right. So seemingly, according to Rashi, and we're going to prove this from another Rashi also, later on in the Masechta. All right, as it stands now, and we will further prove this point. According to Rashi, you just need to make it inaccessible. Now, you don't have to destroy the chametz, you have to make it inaccessible. The problem was a person yachol lilaktam, and it's also the Rashi we brought before. Why should you need piur? Because maybe the loaf of bread will remain intact, and someone else will pick it up. It's an issue of making it inaccessible, that a human being should not be able to access it. That's the pshat in biur. Biur means it's become inaccessible. Lav dafka you destroyed the chametz. You don't have to damage the chametz. You just have to make the chametz inaccessible. All right, so Rav Yosef says, you don't have to worry about a loaf of bread. It'll dissolve. Nobody will ever get their hands on it. All right, wheat kernels are hard, so over there you have to make sure to pierce the bag, and so the wheat kernels will disperse. But you don't have to damage the wheat kernels. You contrast that with the Lashon of the Rambam in Parak Gimel of Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah, and that's not the nuance. Listen to the Lashon of the Rambam. Ketzad bir chametz is the Parak Gimel Halachi Rav. How is bir chametz sorfol por v'zor ruach or zor kol yam? Or you could just throw it into the ocean, like I said. The Rambam Paskin is like Rav Yosef, right? You could throw it in the ocean. You don't have to pulverize it. So listen to Lashon Rambam. V'im haya chametz kosher ve'en haya mechat chol mehera if the chametz is hard and the sea will not break it up quickly, you must pulverize it and then throw it into the ocean. Okay? So the Rambam doesn't set up the case with chitin. Right, you know, the Rambam said, you know, said chitin lav dafka. It's a problem if the chametz is hard, and the sea will not quickly dissolve it. As the Rambam changed the case, you know, and said chitin lav dafka. Right, that the problem of chitim is that they come in a sack, right, and they won't dissolve while in the sack. You got to scatter them. Right, the Rambam did not open or say it's chitim and scatter them. Simply scatter them. The Rambam changed it to any hard chametz, Right, the Rambam made it, you know, much more general. Right, Rashi said, you know, if it's like chitim, like the Gemara says, it's enough. You know, mefarer's lav dafka. Just scatter it, meaning pierce the bag. You don't have to literally pulverize it. The Rambam said, no, any hard chametz, whether chitim or a hard piece of bread, any hard chametz, pulverize first and then throw it in. Right? So Rambam wrote, you know, much more general, you know, any hard chametz, and he said, regarding any hard chametz, pulverize it first and then throw it in. Right, so taking the Rambam most literal way, he wants you to destroy the chametz, except that soft chametz dissolves. Hard chametz doesn't dissolve. So it's very easy to learn in the Rambam, especially as that was the Lashon Gemara, chitim as in hard. The Rambam says, mefarer, you pulverize it, and then you throw it to the ocean. Doesn't mean, you know, just, you know, break the bag so it scatters. Right, if he meant what Rashi says, he should have said what Rashi said. He left it much more general. Any hard chametz and he puts the emphasis, not that the sea will scatter. He says, any hard that any mechatcho, the sea will not dissolve it. Any hard chametz that will not be dissolved, it won't be dissolved. Right, that's, you have to pulverize it. So he'd say that, you know, the pashtus, the machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam, is this chakira. Right? Is bir chametz to make the chametz inaccessible or to destroy the chametz? The Rambam holds it's mamish to destroy the chametz. Right? And therefore, all hard chametz that throwing into the ocean in itself does not destroy it. You destroy it and then throw it into the ocean. Right? To finish off the destruction of it once it's been pulverized. Rashi says, the ikar is that shelo yechol adam lilaktam. You know, it shouldn't be, a person should not be able to collect it. And right, that's the lashon of Rashi throughout the Masechta. Right, so this chakira of, you know, putting chametz, you know, in a secure container that nothing will happen to chametz and launching into outer space, according to Rashi, that's a good enough biur. That's biur because it's been made permanently inaccessible to mankind. Right, according to the Rambam, that's not a good biur. That's not a good. You have to destroy the chametz, and the chametz will remain intact. Again, we're talking after 6 hours, so when a bittul doesn't work anymore. So you have to do biur. Koin Rashi, biur means make it inaccessible. Koin Rambam means destroy it. So this question about launching it into outer space would be a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. Koin Rashi, it is a good biur because en adam yochol lakton. Nobody will ever be able to collect it. At least Rashi Aliba de Rav Yosef, let's put it that way, Rashi Aliba de Rav Yosef, right? And according to Rambam, Upaskin Zak Rav Yosef, no, even according to Rav Yosef, the mitzvah is to be or is to destroy the chametz once bittul is not an option. And so if it's intact, if it's inaccessible, that's not good enough. So this leads us to our final point before we get into some Divrei Musar. Right, on the Gemara and Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. Right, the din of Chametz Shenafel of Mapoles, Hareu Kimavur. Right, it's Mishnah. Right, if Chametz, you know, was hit, you know, a wall fell on it. You know, so it's doing. There was demolition work going around, and my Chametz fell under a demolished wall. You know, it has a din of Kimavur. It is as if it was destroyed. Right, and that's Rishim Gamliel says Kedei Chavisas Kelev, which is 3 Tvachim. Right, so there's this is all in the Mishnah. So the Gemara adds the din of Rav Chizorchis Vitzorch Shivato Belibo. Right, Rav Chizda says that obviously if it's talking about if it's still within six hours, that bittul still works, you should be mevatel. But nowhere does Gemara say that if it's after 6 hours, you're going to have to excavate it. You need to be mevatel it. Now, the obvious question that the Rishonim are bothered by is that if it's kamavur, if buried under all that debris, three tefachim of debris, I believe it is, right? If it's buried under three tefachim debris, it has a din that's already been mavuar. It's a shayna kiyum of biur chametz. What do you need to do bittul for? What's this din of Rav Chisda? So the Ran says, you know, the simple idea, that's just stam a chumra midrabanan. And I read the Ran, v'chi matzachinan bittul, hani mili midrabanan. That's just midrabanan, it's a chumra. You know, it's a rabban were machmir. Avo midoraisa, kevan shenof of mapos, ain't no overla, but midoraisa, once a wall fell on it, you're not going to be over bal yura, bal yimotze. And the simplest understanding of the Ran, which is also a simple svara, right, is that you'll never be over on bal yura, bal yimotze ever again. Right, and it's just a chumra midrabanan to do bittul anyway. Right? So now, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says that, no, you have to do bittul for a real serious chshash. Says Rashi, Tzorach Shivat Levo, Shemi Fakach Agal B'moit, lest the wall be, you know, removed, you know, be excavated, you know, on the Yom Tif. I guess the other city will make you, or the city will come and you'll clean up the debris. V'nimtza over alav, and you'll be over on bal yira, bal yimotze. Right? Amazing thing. Right, Rashi holds that you're going to be over on bal yira, bal yimotze, if the wall gets excavated. That's a pella. Right? If you burn chametz, and then that chametz magically reappears, you're going to be over on bal yira, bal yimotze. It's mavur. You burnt it already. You're mavar the chametz. There's like new chametz that came from heaven. Right? So, why over here? Why should you be over on Bayer or Bayer Motze? So, if Rashi means to say, you know, or let's put it this way, I don't want anyone to think, so Rashi doesn't mean to say that maybe a person, you know, the guy, the Bailim, will want it and he'll be Zeicha in it again. Because if that's what it means, then Rashi should have said so. Rashi says it's like automatic. It happens immediately upon excavating the wall. You find him, meaning it automatically is over. Not the pshat. You know, don't try to read into this that maybe the old owner will see it and decide that he wants to be zeich in it and like acquire chametz on Pesach. That's nonsense. That if Rashi meant that, then ikar chaser min hasefer. Rashi saying mamish the hefech v'nimtza. And it comes out automatically that, you know, once the wall is picked up, he's over on bal yira, bal yimotze. This Rashi is a pella. Now, what we're going to say over here may answer this Rashi and many other Rashis that are difficult throughout the Masechta. Lefi, what we established just a few minutes ago, that Rashi's shita of what's called biur, and in his headspace, the definition of biur is that it's inaccessible. Right? So that kula could lead to a chumra. Right? In most cases, once you make the chametz inaccessible, it is permanently inaccessible. Right? It's irreversible, like the case of throwing it, if it's soft chametz being thrown into the ocean, or scattering the wheat kernels. Right? You'll never get, you know, a kezias chametz, you know, ever again. You know, you've scattered it, you know, caused it to scatter in a way that you'll never be able to lilakate, to collect together a kezias ever again. Right? So, in most cases, you know, when you've made it inaccessible, it's been permanently inaccessible. Over here, this is different. This case is that, you know, it is currently inaccessible. It's under three tefachim of debris. Right? But it's still there, you know, under that debris. And if the wall will be removed, right, so I will have undone what was achieved. Inaccessible, in the event that being inaccessible is reversible, and this is the one case where this is the case, right, it's under debris. But it's safe there under that debris. So I can't get to it. Right, a dog can't get to it. It's called inaccessible. Even a caliph can't reach it. You're showing it's inaccessible. Right, but in this particular case, What happens if the inaccessibility could be undone? Right? Which is this particular case. Shema yipakach hagal. Someone's going to lift up the wall. Right? And undo its being inaccessible. Right? Undo its being inaccessible is like it's mevatel what you've done, and you become over bayiro bayimatzah all over again. Again, this is the case of this Gemara is talking about that you didn't do bittul. You didn't do bittul, right? And you made it inaccessible, but you know, you could undo what you did. And this is the one case where it's possible for it to become accessible again. You know, be undoing what I did. And that's why Rav Chisda says, if bittul is still shaykh, then do it. To save yourself from being over bayiro bayimatzah in the event that it becomes accessible again. So if the whole force is to make it inaccessible, in most cases that's a permanent state. Right? But this is the one case where it's not that way. It's reversible. So when it's reversible, you've undone what you did. Right? Or what you did gets undone and you become over and by your bayimatzah. Right? So but like the Ran, or like the posit, you know, according to all the other Rishonim, right, that hold, right, that the kimavur means it's destroyed. Once it's under three, you know, tfachim of debris, it has a din of being destroyed. So whether it is intact or not, halacha views it as destroyed. Hareu kimavur. There's no way you can be chai for bayira bayimatzah on it ever again. Right, like the Ran says. It has a din of destroyed. Since it has a din of destroyed, so when it becomes excavated, that's like new chametz that came from heaven. That's like chametz that got burnt and magically reappeared. But Rakwa Rashi is just not inaccessible, but it's being inaccessible got undone. But the amazing thing is that when the minute it gets undone, you're back to square one, and now you're chayev on it, bayiro bayimatzah. And that's why Rav Chisda says, do bittul if you could still do bittul. Right, but according to the other Rishonim, you know, that hold that it's that Hareu Kamavur means it has a din of being destroyed, because that's the getter of Birchot. So Hareu Kamavur means it has a din of being destroyed. If the wall gets lifted up on the Mayed, right, you're not going to be chayv by Rabbi Matzah. It's like new chametz. So the question is, like the other Rishonim, as much as it makes good sense, but now it's a little bit shver, what is the din of Rav Chisda? What is the din of Rav Chisda, like the other Rishonim, that like the Ran, right, that says you're never going to be chay for bayira bayimatzah on it ever again, which makes good sense. Like the Tzad that Biracham Shat destroyed, it's destroyed already. So if it ever becomes nigla again, it's like new chametz. It's like chametz that came back from having been destroyed. It's like new chametz. So what is the din of Rav Chisda? Right, so I want a taina chiddush over here. Right. That which the Rambam, we said, we established before, holds that the din of Bir Chometz is to destroy it. I want a taina, reading the lashon of the Rambam over here. Chodzav mapolis v'nimtza olav ofer shatzochim o yos areu kimavur. V'tzorach levato belibo im adayach sosha shishas. He has to be mevato if it's not the sixth hour yet. If it's not the sixth hour. Right? The Lashon v'tzorach, instead of, it doesn't say v'chayev levatlo. It doesn't say chayev. Tzorach. Right? Okay, I do it, it's in the Rambam, they're not synonyms. Right, chayev means an absolute chiyuv, and it's ma'akev. Tzorach is like, there's a din like that. Right, and you understand that the tzorach means that, of course, it's not ma'akev. That if it just says if it's before six, do it. I.e. Let me explain what I mean. Right, if the Ram would have said chayev. Chayev levato, that means like this, and he refused. So would come in the sixth hour, he can't be levato. Well, you'd have to excavate the chametz himself, and Ram doesn't say he has to do that. He just says, and if it's before 6 hours, you should be levato. Right? And makes good sense that's the lashon to use. Yes, there's an obligation to be levato, but it's not li kuva. As opposed to if we would say chayev levayer, then the halacha would be otherwise. Right, that chayev in the Rambam's lexicon is something that's mamish l'ikuva. Right, because then the din ought to be, if he would have said v'chayev levato, then the din would have been otherwise, that after 6 hours, you know, if he had the opportunity to be levato and he refused, they would be chayev to unearth that chometz. And he's not chayev, because hareu kamavur. I want to taina that this is what the Rambam meant. Right, that which, if it's before 6 hours, tzorech levato, tzorech, not chayev. I mean, it's not meaning to say it's not going to be any type of re'usa in your being potter from bayirah bayimatzah. You're potter from bayirah bayimatzah once the debris falls on it. But you know what you missed out on? You missed out on a mitzvah. You missed out on the mitzvah of tashbisu. Because the wall, the context of the case is not that I knocked down a wall on it. Not that it fell me mela. Right? So you have chametz that, you know, that by an act of God has a din of kim mevur. No, it is as good as destroyed by act of God. Right, but that happened by act of God. So out balyurah, balyumotze, you're okay. You've got nothing to worry about. You don't need that bittul. You really don't need a bittul, because even if you refuse to do that bittul, even though you could have, if you refuse. Nowhere do I see in the Rambam that if you refuse to do that bittul, that now you're going to have to unearth it, you know, dig it up and destroy it. No, you don't have to, right? But you know what? You missed out on a mitzvah. You weren't mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu. You got a p'tur on bal yirah, bal yimotzeh, because by an act of God, it's buried under, you know, 3 tefachim of debris. But you missed out on a kiyum of tashbisu. And Rambam holds yikar hashbasas b'leiv. Right, when bittul is possible, that's the ikar mitzvah of tashbisu. You missed out on a mitzvah. That's what I say. You want to get the mitzvah of tashbisu. I know this is a chiddush, but tell me a better pshat. I'd love to hear. Right, I'm saying the Ram was saying the akum of the mitzvah of tashbisu. If you could still do bittul and get mitzvah, get the schar. Right, be a kium of a mitzvah saseh of tashbisu. Of course, it's under being 3 tefachim of debris is a good p'tur from bal yirah bayimatzah. Isn't it tzorech levato? Tzorech, not chayv. Tzorech, right, is to get a kium of the mitzvah of tashbisu. And therefore, I'll tell you a bigger chiddush, therefore. If I knock the wall down on the chametz on purpose in order to be mevayer it, I don't have to do bittul. If I did it beratzen and bekavona, and I knocked down the wall, right? On it, this is like a good kiyum of tashbisu. I got the mitzvah saseh, because being under 3 tefachim of debris has a din of kimavur. Except that when it happens, mimela, says if you can still do bittul, get the mitzvah saseh of tashbisu. Right? Because it happened by itself, and I'm going to tie in a chiddush. Right, that the fetus pshat in the Rambam, if I knock down a wall on top of the chametz, I don't have to do bittul. Because I knocked down the wall bikavana to be mevar the chametz, I got my mitzvah of tashbisu. The din of v'tzorach levato is to gain the mitzvah saseh because it happened mimela. But if I did it that way bikavana, I want to tie into the feet of Rambam, I don't have to be mevato. This din of v'tzorach levato is purely a din, right? As far as I'm positing, is purely din to get a kiyum of the mitzvah say of tashbisu, and therefore, if I knock down the wall on purpose, right, I do not have to do the bittul at all because I got my mitzvah say. These are the points we said, and we just wanted to point out, you know, mitzada musar kayadua, the chometz represents the Eitzahara. And if it's before Zman Isser, like the issue that we opened up with, if it's before 6 hours, it's enough Hashbasa Belev. You know, this is a Rav Chaim Vital that's brought down by the Chidah. The Chidah has a Chibur called Lev David. And the first 6 prakim of those 32 prakim, that's why it's called Lev David, you know, 32 prakim, Lev. The first 6 of those 32 prakim are Likutim from Rav Chaim Vital, Al Derech HaMusar. And over there, he's Rav Chaim Vital says that Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells the Nachash, who you know that Eva Oshis, there's going to be now, a eternal adversity between you and the children of man and woman. Hu yishuf charosh, man will kill you by the head. Va'atot shufenu akev, and you get him by the heel. Says Rav Chaim Vital. If you strike first, right? You strike the Yetzirah first. Hu yishuf charosh, mean rosh milashin first. Rosh Miloshin first. If you hit first, as soon as the taiva starts, you immediately, strike first and say no, you win. Right? But Ata Shven Oga, but you win, the snake, which also represents the Eight Sahara. You win a cave, right? You get him by the heel, meaning if he waits, he's mit a cave. He hangs around and he lets the taiva fester in him. Right? That's when you win. Right, that's when the Yetzer wins. The Yetzer wins because we let him fester in us and let him get stronger and stronger. But if you strike immediately, you win. Right? And when you strike immediately, it doesn't have to be with so much effort. It could be just with bittul belev. Like the Pia Setzner says, that if a person, the second he feels a taiva bubbling up in him, if he would just stamp his foot and say, no, his taiva would subside instantly. The problem is that people don't do it, and the taiva builds up. But like if you do Rav Chaim Vital's Eitz of striking first, striking immediately when the taiva starts, right? You could defeat him, not just, stam defeat him, but defeat him easily. Right? And there's implicit in what Chazal say, that the Eitzar starts off, Gemar and Sukkah, starts off like a cobweb, but at the end it feels like chains. Heavy ropes and chains and all those different lashons of that Chazal, they're all talking about the same thing, that if you let the Yetzirah, not just if you let him get the better of you, avarver v'shanaba, naslo keheter, right? But even if, even just letting him bubble in you, just, not taking care of it immediately, right, is really the beginning of the failure. That's how he gets stronger, because you don't push him off immediately. That in itself allows him to grow stronger. And Kal v'chomer if he got you to succumb in some way, shape, or form. Right? And that's, to tie it in, to the Hilchos Bittul Chametz, up to Sigur, before the Zman Isser, right? If you strike first, you strike before, Chatzos, you don't wait till the end. You don't wait till after the deadline. You could just get him with bittul belev. You could just annul him in your heart. Right? If you wait after the Zman Isser, then it becomes difficult. It becomes a whole war. You have to burn him up. You got to a mefarer v'zorah ruach. It becomes a hard avoda and kuli hai v'ulai. Right? And so we have to take a lesson, right? That if you do it before the Shah Shishis, you could do Hashbasa Ifilu Belev. But Yesh Lihit Pale, one should be in total wonderment. Where do we get the koch? That if you strike first, it's so easy. And it's a special gift for Am Yisrael. This Havtocha is only for those who are really Bnei Adam Be'emes, Besod Atem Kriyim Adam. That we have this wonderful Havtocha, that if you only strike first, it could be easy, and it could be done with machshava alone, just with a the commitment in the heart not to be over. That in itself is mevatel the chametz. It's mevatel yetzer. Just the hachlota. No, I'm not giving in. If you say that immediately, you're muftach to win. Where we get that koch from? We get that koch from Shabbos, and that's why the word tashbisu and Shabbos is the same word. Ach bayon shem tashbisu storm mipatechem miloshen Shabbos. The koch to pull off biur chametz, to mamish, live in sterile space, is power on loan from Shabbos, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Shabbos as a gift to Am Yisrael, and anyone who says the Kegavna before Baruch Hu on Leil Shabbos, that there's no Shulta Achra B'chol Almin, Chol Dinim Misabrimina, right? There's no Dinim on Shabbos, there's no other Shlita, there's no other Koach, it's a day where you're with HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone, and the Sitra Achra has no foothold on this day, and of course this is a wonderful day, which is a gift, it's a Matana Teva. Right, the Akash who gave us his day, the day that he reigned supreme, he shared it with Am Yisrael, who he loves. If you tap into the power of Shabbos, you could be Mekayim Tashbisu. Living in the reality of Shabbos and appreciating Shabbos, of being in B'mechitzasa Shakosh Hu B'sod Rishus HaYochid, and that's what the Sfarim says, no heter of being Motzi Merishus Rishus on Shabbos, because we're just in one Rishus, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus Yechido Shel Olam, we're just in the Rishus of He who is one. Right? Kayadua, Vein Makom Laharach, there's a lot on this in Kisvei Ari. And Shas, we're just in his domain. And of course, that's a gift, right, that he allows us. But we could tap into that power, right, and tap it out to clean up our lives, to clean up the chametz in our lives. Use the koach of Shabbos to be mashbit, right, to cease the chametz in our hearts. We could tap into the power of Shabbos too, you know, and it's from the power of Shabbos that we get, you know, the capacity to enjoy Rav Chaim Vital's Havtacha, that with bitul ba'al masagi, that you can be mevatel yetzer just with a thought alone. Where does Am Yisrael get that koach from? It's only Am Yisrael that has that koach. That if we strike first, we win. It's Havtacha only by Am Yisrael. The Goyim are too stuck in their ways. They can't do this. That's why they asked our Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mike Siva Bey, we have to see if we can handle it. Am Yisrael could say Nasa V'Nishma, because we know we could overcome our Yetzirah. We could. And even after it's too late, it's never really, really too late. It's just hard work. But Koshkin, if we immediately say Nasa V'Nishma, we win. Right? And where do we get the koch? We get that koch from Shabbos. By Koshku sharing his Shabbos with us, which is to be in his, you know, in his domain, we could draw in on that power to clean up our domain. That's our loy matzav batechem, right? We're not going to have any type of chametz in our domain. We could tap into that power, extend the power of Shabbos, right, to be mashbit the chametz, and that's part of the inyan of Shabbos Hagadol, the power of Shabbos, you know, that comes before Pesach. We draw on the power of that Shabbos Tataka, be zocher, be mashbit the chametz from our Rishus, and to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it's not Shabbos, it's only Yom Tov, but for 7 days, you know, to be nonetheless without the Yetzirah, and only Avodim LaHashem, and not Avodim to Paro, and not Avodim to our Taivas.